Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
So how many people are traveling for Thanksgiving? Quite a few. Okay, that's me too. I'll be in Oklahoma City with family, though. That'll be good. As we all know, there are awful lot of things going on in the world. If you read the news or keep up with it, which I do, that most of us would like to see change. And I won't go through the list, but anyone who has any compassion at all in their heart has to feel a little bit sad right now seeing what's happening to people all across the globe, whether it's Syria, Ukraine, Africa, anywhere, even here in the United States. And as we move into what we call the holiday season, maybe we'll find it a little bit difficult think about it, to feel as happy as we might normally feel, because buying presents, throwing parties, and eating large amounts of food don't have quite the same appeal when we think about what other people might be going through, or even what we ourselves might be going through. Well, some of you are doing this pretty significant thing. Fortunately, either by intelligent design or by some wonderful accident, the first holiday that we come across as we move into the holiday season is Thanksgiving. And that's good because it gives all of us an opportunity to begin the holiday season with the most important, the most powerful, and the most significant spiritual principle of all, the principle of gratitude. Now, from a spiritual perspective, which is how we try to approach things here, this is an especially good thing because it encourages us to think about being thankful even before we start having all those traditional holiday experiences happen to us or around us, all the driving around in the traffic at the malls, and gift buying, and card sending, and mandatory parties that you may not really want to go to, and all those things that make us wonder sometimes whether being thankful is actually the way we really want to feel. Because even though I know better, metaphysically speaking, when I keep getting closer and closer to Christmas, when the time keeps getting shorter, and my gift list keeps getting longer, and I don't have time to get all the stuff, I don't always feel grateful. I'll be honest. Sometimes I feel stressed. I have even been known to get a little bit cranky on occasion, okay? But with a little help from my friends, and I have some very, very dear friends, I usually manage to remember what I need to remember, and that is that the holidays are not a time just for gift-giving and gift-receiving and parties and all that stuff. The holidays are supposed to be a time to enjoy life and to enjoy people. And I forget that sometimes. We all do. That's why if we would just allow ourselves to pay attention, that's where the idea symbolized by Thanksgiving can be a big help. Now, thankful thinking, which is what I'm going to be talking about today, can put us in a state of mind, at least it ought to, that's the theory, it can put us in a state of mind where we can decide to be grateful for no particular reason except that we're alive and able to experience all the excitement and activity of the holidays. So we can decide to be grateful for no other reason than that the past is over and done, whether the past was last week, last year, or 10 years ago, and that our future, whether we're talking about today, next week, next year, whatever it happens to be, is kind of a blank slate ready for us to draw on it whatever we want starting right now. Now, something we forget is that's not just true about Thanksgiving. It is actually true about the other 364 days of the year, too. But this Thursday, we have official permission to take the day off and celebrate the holiday with whoever we want, whatever way we want to do it. That's something else we often forget, so it's good to be reminded. Anyway, we talk about gratitude. I talk about it every year before Thanksgiving. David and I actually talk about it all the time, but we can never say it enough. Choosing to experience this feeling we call gratitude, and it is a choice, is one of the most important choices that we can ever make, and it is also a choice that we are making and remaking every single moment of our life. No matter what happens to us or around us, we are the only ones who can choose whether or not to be grateful. We're the only ones who can choose what we're grateful for, only ones who can choose how we express that gratitude. We're the only ones who can choose how long the feeling is going to last. And all those different choices are constantly being presented to us in every single thing we do. But if you took all of those choices, and they're all relevant, and rolled them together into a single one-time decision that we're always making, here is what we're actually deciding. I'm going to phrase it as a question, rather two questions, either or question. And here's the question we should be asking ourselves, whether we're doing it verbally or not. Am I, in your case, are you, am I, by action of my divine ability to choose what is in my consciousness, in my heart and mind, am I the kind of person who joyfully and deliberately chooses on a regular basis to appreciate my life and seek the good in everything that happens, no matter what? That's one question. Or am I the kind of person who has decided, either deliberately or by default, to allow the external circumstances of my life to dictate whether I'm happy or not with the way my life is going? That's pretty much what it boils down to. Are we choosing to be happy, or are we not choosing to be happy? It's either one or the other. You see, just like love, which is one of the other powerful spiritual principles we talk about, gratitude, in its purest and most effective form, has to be unconditional and freely embraced. It has to be unconditional and freely embraced. It can't depend upon what's showing up or not showing up in our life. It can't depend upon what someone else said or did or didn't say and didn't do. It needs to be a feeling that completely supports an atmosphere that surrounds us, an atmosphere of peace, an atmosphere of contentment, an atmosphere of acceptance that fills our heart and shapes our thoughts and beliefs and perspectives, regardless of any stuff we may be running into in our life at any particular moment. Now, that's the spiritual aspect of gratitude. But we all know that's not the way most people think about it, all right? But that's the way we need to think about it if we wanted to contribute to our life. And if you're here this morning, which most of you are, okay, I am going to assume that you're the kind of person who wants to live your life that way. Does anybody here want to live their life positively, joyfully, and powerfully, without being a victim of anyone or anything, without being mentally, emotionally, and spiritually whiplashed by the ups and downs of your everyday life? Anybody here? Several. Okay, good. Now, when you go walking out into the world, if you look around you and you pay attention during the course of a normal day, you will probably notice a whole lot of people everywhere who, if not exactly ungrateful, at least need an awful lot of encouragement to find something in their life to be grateful for. There are people all around who don't seem to appreciate anything, at least not for long. Some of them don't even say thank you. Bill was talking about that. Now the response is, no problem. Well, he says thank you. Very interesting. Okay? When something good happens, all they focus on is themselves and their problems. These are the kind of people who always seem to be unhappy. And whenever we get in this same kind of self-centered, ungrateful frame of mind, which we all do on occasion, we usually find that we are unhappy too. The good news is, and this is for all of us here, most people who start out on this kind of spiritual path, who are more open-minded and aware, don't get stuck in that unhappy place. That's one of the great benefits of this teaching, because we know we can create something better. So what you and I want to do is to create a life where we can appreciate every part of our life all the time. Now that may sound like something everyone wants, and it may be, but not everyone knows how to accomplish it. Because the way to do this, the way to create a life that we are always grateful for, is not to get more and better stuff to make ourselves feel entertained and comfortable. It's not to avoid certain people or situations that we don't like. And it's not to push to get our way more often. The best way to be happy all the time is to start thinking and feeling a different way. And by that I mean a more practical, spiritual, and intelligent way. The best way to be happy all the time is to make changes in how we live from the inside out, instead of trying to do it from the outside in. That's what this teaching tells us. not only that, this teaching tells us that anyone is capable of doing it. And best of all, it tells us how to do it, which is by using intelligent, natural, mental, and spiritual laws and the power of our own awareness and our inner wisdom and our ability to make choices to make our own best decisions. That is the way we cure any chronic unhappiness about the conditions of our life and begin to feel grateful for everything that we have right here and right now. Now, in the book, The Science of Mind, if you're new here or here for the first time, it's what we call our textbook. Dr. Ernest Holmes, who wrote the book, talks about the healing power of gratitude this way. It's a little bit poetic, but I'll translate it for you after. He says this: if we wish to come to the Spirit for the healing of our wounds, please come to the spiritual mentality. Let us come in peace and with spontaneous joy, for the Spirit is joy. Let us come with thanksgiving also, for a thankful heart is in harmony with life. Very, very pretty. And then he says, one more sentence here, but we must also come with quiet confidence, with an open and receptive mind and a believing heart, naturally, sanely, and expectantly. And he says, in this way we are entering the portals of reality clad in garments of righteousness. Pretty heavy. Okay. Let me translate in English. What he's saying is, when we choose every moment to face life the way he suggests, we end up moving through the world, moving through this world of effect, the physical world where we live and move and have our being, with a much clearer awareness of how life works and with a better understanding of our own personal responsibility for creating our own happiness or unhappiness. You see, the ability to be grateful as a constant, never-changing state of mind, which is what I'm talking about here, requires a special kind of vision. A special kind of vision. It's something we all have, even though we don't always use it. For example, the other day I was sitting on the connector downtown, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, parked, not moving, dead stop, okay. I've seen it, you've seen it happen, Georgia 400, a lot of times during the day. And some people can sit in that and appreciate the beautiful music on their car stereo. I've got a Bose system in my Prius with satellite radio and all that stuff. Okay, I've got my iPod. I got all my music, everything I want. They can admire the architecture of the buildings. Oh, look, new building, beautiful. They can look at the sky or listen to the beautiful rain like we did this morning driving here. And when they get to where they're going, they're happy. Not because they got to where they're going, but because they have been happy all along. Meanwhile, somebody else sitting in the same traffic, they're smelling the fumes, they're looking at their watch, and they're angry about being late. Why the hell are all these people on my road, okay? They're grinding their teeth, they're clenching the steering wheel, and they're turning bright red, okay? It's the same situation, but they have an entirely different experience. I mean, they could at least be grateful that they've got a watch to see how late they are. They could be grateful that they are driving and not walking, okay, but that never enters their mind. That's why one of my favorite quotes was the writer Aldous Huxley. He once made a very astute observation when he said, I love this, he said, most human beings have an almost infinite capacity for taking things for granted. You know, considering this miracle that we call life and all the wonderful ways it shows up, if you really stop and think about it, it's actually surprising that most of us aren't a lot more grateful than we are. And I don't mean grateful for one thing or another, for our spouse, for our kids, for our family, for our homes, all this. I mean just grateful. Just grateful. Now, one obvious reason why we lose track of this, Bill mentioned it earlier, is a lot of time we focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. And we fool ourselves. This is the way that process works, to expand on what you said. We fool ourselves into thinking that when we get what we want, then we will be appropriately happy and grateful. That's what we think. But the funny thing is, once we get it, or once it happens, whatever it happens to be, we don't usually consider it to be a gift from the universe, which is what it really is, it very quickly becomes an entitlement. So instead of feeling grateful for it, it's just taken for granted. There's a story I love. It's a story about an Irishman who was driving to a meeting, an important meeting where he was going to sign some paperwork and make a lot of money, but he had to be there. And he was late, and he's driving around, and he couldn't find a parking place, so he keeps circling the parking lot and getting more and more frustrated. Finally, he stops, and he looks up to heaven, and he says, "God, if you find me a parking place, for a year I will give up drinking and go to Mass every single day." And the moment he says this, right in front of him, a car's backup lights come on, right in front of where his meeting is. The car backs out, pulls away, and he looks up and he says, "Never mind, I found one." Okay? You know? I love that story, you know? That's kind of what we do, you know? Though it's sad to say, one of the only times we do appreciate what we have or what we had is when we lose it. When we lose it. Look at our health, for example. Great example. Many people, no one in here I'm sure, but people out there, okay, when their health is good, they don't even think about being grateful for their body. And they do it all. Unhealthy diet, use of alcohol, maybe even drugs, overwork, not enough sleep, no exercise. Instead of treating their body like a temple, they treat it like a cheap rental car. People who do that. And they continue to do this without thinking until some part of it breaks down or starts to hurt, right?
Right.
Okay. And that can be a real wake-up call, because there's nothing like an aching back, a migraine headache, or the inability to breathe to make you appreciate a healthy body. The interesting thing is, when we learn how to become completely immersed in an unchanging attitude of gratitude for something important to us, like a healthy body, whether our own body is in good shape or now or not, our body tends to stay healthier. It tends to stay healthier and to heal more quickly when it gets off track. And this happens because when we are grateful for what our body does, we treat it well, we take care of it, we think twice before abusing it, we make better decisions. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Now, if we extend that same thinking to our job, or to the people we love, our family and friends, or to our house, or our car, or our bank account, to everything in our life, the same thing happens. When we constantly appreciate whatever it is, we take better care of it, and it takes better care of us. In other words, the best of the things we are grateful for shows up more and more often, right? And when there's a temporary imbalance or disruption, it gets back to center faster. Now, there was a man that some of you may have heard of, a few of you, anyway, if you're into finances and that. He died in 2008, so about 6 years ago, at the age of 96, healthy and happy. And his name was John Templeton. You hear that name? Ring a bell, a few of you. He was started the first of the mutual funds, Templeton funds, very, very successful, very prosperous. And a lot of people don't know, but he was dedicated for years to teachings like this community, science of mind, all these you got teachers. In fact, he started a foundation called the Templeton Foundation that every year gives a $1 million prize to the person who does the best job encouraging the cause of spirituality in the world. Desmond Tutu won it last year. The Dalai Lama won it the year before. And a bunch of other people that you may have never heard of, but if you read their resumes, it's absolutely amazing what they have done. Anyway, Sir John, as he was called, he was from Tennessee, but he got knighted by the Queen of England. He used to say that instead of Thanksgiving once a year, we ought to practice something called Thanksliving every day. Kind of cool. Thanksliving, I like the idea. And Thanksliving, he said, would be a practice based on the spiritual principle that being constantly and consistently grateful leads to having more in our life to be grateful for. Just like Oprah, same thing. Okay. That kind of thinking and feeling recognizes not only the good in every person and everything, it draws more good to us. It's sort of like a metaphysical metal detector at the beach. You know, I grew up in Florida. You see those people walking around trying to pull the metal out of the sand. Well, if we magnetize our mind for good, which is what we're doing here, we sort of pull up the good stuff and we leave the sand and all the other stuff. So today, because we are moving into the week where family figures predominantly in many of our lives, I'm going to suggest three different ways that we can practice putting ourselves in a grateful state of mind. Okay? And all of these are equally important. They can all be done at the same time. No one is more important than the other. Right? Number one, some of you like to take notes. The first way to actively look for the good in everything is to praise it and celebrate. Look for the good in everything, praise it and celebrate it, and give thanks for it as soon as we see it. The reason that's important is because there is a spiritual law called the law of attraction. Anybody ever hear of that? Several of you? Okay. That says we always attract more of whatever receives our best attention. Okay? We focus on good, we attract more good. For example, here's a family example. Let's say you're at your parents' house for Thanksgiving dinner, listening to your brother-in-law talking about how Rush Limbaugh would make an excellent president. Okay? Now, you don't need to get mad. You don't need to throw up your dinner. All right? You don't need to argue with him. You need to look for the good. Somebody might say, what good is there in that? Well, you can be thankful you don't live with him. That would be one. You could be thankful that he doesn't have any political clout. That would be good. You can be thankful that he only gets one vote. That's good, too. Once we find a seed of good, no matter how tiny it is, by being grateful for it, we make the seed grow, both in our consciousness, which is good, but also in the world around us. A second way to live gratefully is for us to give thanks ahead of time for whatever good we desire in the future. Okay? Focus on the present, the first one. The second one is ahead of time. That means being grateful for the new house or the new apartment before we own it, or being grateful for the right and perfect relationship before they knock on our door or show up at Starbucks, or being grateful for a new opportunity to prosper and grow even while we're in the same job. We need to feel like what we desire has already happened because, there's a great reason for this, it has to happen in consciousness first before it can happen out there. And that's what gratitude does. So we make use of our higher vision not to see gratitude just as a reaction to something we've already gotten, but as part of the creative process in creating our future good. Once again, if you're going to visit family this week, instead of hoping that things won't be as bad as they were last year, okay, instead of wishing it were all over and you were home with your friends, today, before you go, start feeling grateful for the wonderful, joyful, loving holiday experience that brings you all closer together. Okay? Create a space in here for that to happen. Start feeling thankful now that you can see above and beyond any conflict other people try to create. That way, when Thursday rolls around, you'll already know what a good family experience feels like, and you can proceed to make it happen. It really, really works. I had to use this one last year. The third way of the three to keep ourselves centered in gratitude, and this is the one that's a little hard, it takes real strength, is to be grateful for any and all problems or challenges that already exist in our life. So we did the present, we did beforehand, and now we're doing afterwards. Okay? We need to do this because this is where the greatest healing takes place. Right? This is how we grow. This is how we become more conscious and more aware. I mean, if you think about it, this is not an unusual thing to do. I mean, a weightlifter learns to lift more weights by what? By lifting heavier weights. A scientist, a mathematician, becomes more skilled because they practice more complex problems. When we are able to give thanks for a difficult relationship with our father, our mother, our child, our partner, our spouse, our ex, whoever it is, when we can express gratitude for things like financial challenges, when we become willing to express appreciation for some physical problem that we're experiencing, we are giving thanks, this is important, not for the problem itself, but for the wisdom and the strength and the knowledge that we know will come from getting past it. That's what we're giving thanks for. You see, the truth is, everything in our life is a gift. And at the level of spirit in us, this God awareness we have, we know this. We do know this. Okay? I love what Emerson once wrote. I'm a big Emerson fan. He said, he wrote, "When I first opened my eyes upon the morning meadows and looked out upon the beautiful world, I thank God I am alive." That's the way to do it. Simple and straightforward. No conditions. When we choose to live in an atmosphere of gratitude all the time, we're not giving thanks to God as much as we are giving thanks for God. Okay? In other words, we aren't giving thanks to anyone for giving us what we have, because life is supposed to be giving us stuff. It's continually offer things to us. We are simply playing our part by being grateful that the gifts are here and being grateful that we are here to receive them. Now, a woman by the name of Marge Percy, closing here, once wrote this. I don't know her, but I love this quote. She said, "Life is the first gift, love is the second, and understanding is the third." Life is the first gift, love is the second, and understanding is the third. Okay, those three things. If you think about it, everything comes under one of those categories. And we don't have to struggle or search for them because they're already ours. These things are divine ideas present in our heart from the moment we are born that we simply need to recognize and use. And as we do this, as we learn to practice them, we're going to find that our ability to say thank you to the universe, to life every day in every way, only becomes easier and easier. I'm sure we all agree it's exactly the way it should be. Anyway, my friends, on behalf of David and myself, and the board and the practitioners of CSL MedCenter, I want to wish you all a happy, healthy, and safe Thanksgiving. We are deeply grateful to all of you for everything you do to make this center possible. This is the truth of life. This is the truth of life. So is it. So is it. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity to just be able to talk about this teaching. Let's take a few moments now in our mind, in our heart, in our consciousness. I know that this world is an amazing, amazing place. I know that everywhere I look, I see miracles. I see naturals. I see people with amazing talents. I see beautiful creations made by the mind of someone who shares the same mind that I have. I see incredible talent, like Sauda and Darren, with people sharing that talent with the world. I see an amazing transportation system that allows millions of people to move around. I see this city of 5 million people, all of them living together, all of them with separate lives, but all of them creating this marvelous place we call Atlanta, Georgia. I see this country where I have the freedom to choose and freedom to be. And I see the process that we have of a government that, even though it can be awkward sometimes, allows us to make decisions together to create a better life for everyone. I see this world, this incredible combination of cultures and races, this amazing globe in the middle of a huge empty space, surrounded by an atmosphere that not only allows us to breathe, but gives us beautiful sunsets, beautiful clouds, life-giving rain. I see the people in my life, my dear close friends, my family, my wife, my cat, your dog. All those life forces that surround us and not only give us love, but allow us to express love, which is an even greater gift. I wake in the morning and open my eyes and my ears to the world after sleeping in a warm bed. And I know that there is no reason that we cannot create those circumstances for everyone on the planet. I recognize that there are those not have these gifts, who who even today are waking in fear for their own lives, in pain, homelessness, poverty. And I am grateful that there is an answer. I am grateful that we, as conscious, spiritual beings, once we awaken to our spiritual magnificence, that we will be able together to solve these tragedies and problems. I know that we will be able to stop war, to house the homeless, feed the hungry, and heal the sick. Not out of miracles of religion, but because of the amazing mind that we have and the natural laws that are part of our universe and part of our life. I am grateful for all these things. And I am most grateful for this teaching that allows me to open my mind and see the greater good everywhere I live. Knowing this, as this week unfolds, as I spend time with my family, as I spend time with my friends, I allow myself to be a gift in their life. Giving unconditionally, loving deeply, being completely present, listening, sharing, laughing, and loving. This is the space I create in my mind for my family, my friends, and myself. Knowing this, I accept this as the truth in my life and the truth in yours, and I release this awareness into consciousness, letting it do its written, perfect work from this moment on.